Okay, let's go to New York City now. New York Comic Con returns in person this week after a year off for obvious reasons, pandemic. But there were COVID restrictions in place this year, organizers requiring masks and proof of vaccination for anyone over 12. NPR's resident nerd Petra Mayer stopped by the convention yesterday, and she's here now to tell us what she saw. Hey, Petra.
Hi there.
So you say you're tired. I can't hear it in your voice because it sounds like it was exciting. What was it like? New York Comic Con is usually this huge sensory overload thing, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it was exciting just to be out and about again and to be in that environment and to hear the con noise and to see all the people and the big banners and stuff. But for those of you out there in Radioland who have ever been to a big con like New York or San Diego, when I tell you there was no line at the ladies' room, you know what I mean? You know, like usually on the show floor, it's a literal human traffic jam. There have been years when I've just been like, I'm going to start throwing elbows to get out of here. But this year it was just everywhere you looked, wide open spaces. Everyone coming in had to present proof of vaccination and get this little lime green wristband, although they never asked me about it. But the other thing I think that might have been going on was that there was a mix of live and virtual panels, so that if you didn't want to actually risk going to the convention center, you could just watch stuff at home. So I actually did talk to a couple of fans. This is Cameron Crump from the Bronx, who said he was there to buy comics and replica props.
This is the blade that Thanos uses in Infinity War, and that he actually fights Captain America with during Endgame. And it's made of foam and it's very wiggly.
Cameron and I have both been coming to New York Comic Con for years, and we both noticed kind of the same thing. It was just really subdued.
Marvel Comics isn't here. DC Comics isn't here. That gives room for the smaller independent companies to show up, which is pretty cool. But this is a con that I think is suffering pretty hard post-COVID, but, you know, people are trying to carry on in that way that people do.
And I should point out that Marvel and DC have kind of been moving away from showing up at the big conventions. That isn't strictly a pandemic thing. DC is actually even running their own event now. It's called DC Fandom. You know, not having the heavy hitters around did make a difference to the vibe.
Well, I imagine some of the moderate hitters did show up. I understand, say, there's a new Dragon Ball anime film coming up. I mean, who was there?
Yes, there was a huge booth from Dragon Ball Z with a giant statue of one of the characters. And I have to cop to the fact that DBZ is not my fandom, so I didn't know who it was. Big blue and yellow dragony guy. I took a picture of it. I'll send it to you. that was literally like the only booth, though, that I thought looked like a real Comic-Con booth. There were a lot of TV studios. DC was there, at least in the form of their HBO Doom Patrol show. I saw a lot of banners for a new animated Star Trek show called Prodigy on Nickelodeon. And there were panels, like Amazon had a big presence there. They were on the main stage for their Wheel of Time adaptation, which starts next month, and I'm really excited about. Audible was also there. They have a big adaptation audio drama of Sandman, and they had a virtual panel with Neil Gaiman, who created Sandman, and James McAvoy, who plays the main character. I'm definitely going to check that out because I'm a giant Sandman fangirl.
Well, there's the content, and then, of course, there are the costumes. Surely people still dressed up for this.
Yeah, a few of them did. And I actually really like to look around and see what everyone's wearing because you can really see what's resonating with the fandom that year by, like, everybody's doing Game of Thrones this year. There's a million Spartans this year, you know? But this year, actually, I didn't really see anything that was hitting big. You're always going to see, like, Spider-Man, Deadpool, characters from the video game Overwatch, because those are, like, printed cat suits that you can just pull on and you look great. And there's always going to be people that are wearing stuff that is just meaningful to them. Those are some of my favorites, actually. I saw a woman in this amazing homemade costume. She was the Demogorgon from the show Stranger Things. But she had also made herself this giant hoop skirt, which was decorated to look like one of an important sets from the show, the alphabet wall. So it had, like, you know, letters painted all over it and colored lights. It was really cool. The one thing I saw this year, a lot of Harley Quinns, particularly the version of the character from the Birds of Prey movie. And of course, I always count doctors because I love Doctor Who. So I spotted four doctors. Yeah. But nothing really seemed to be hitting big this year. This was not a 1,000 Spartans in the lobby year.
Yeah, well, as you described, it was a little bit more of a subdued version of the confab for obvious reasons. You think someday we're going to return to the Comic-Con of yore?
I don't know. You know, you can ask that question about pretty much anything, and I don't think we'll know for a couple of years at least. The sort of hybrid virtual in-person model may continue.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, it's, they're so overwhelming, they're so crowded, that if going forward they're a little smaller, there's more room to breathe, I'm not going to be too sad.
Yeah. Well, three more days, right, for this year's one. So there's still time for people to squeeze in. So it sounds like it's still a version of the experience. We've been talking about the New York Comic-Con, which is taking place this weekend in New York City, with Petra Mayer of NPR Books. You mentioned your pictures. You can see some of Petra's pictures from Comic-Con at hereandnow.org. Petra, thanks.
My pleasure.